Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast. My name is Gianmarco Sagato, and today you'll be listening to COC General Director Alexander Neef in conversation with soprano Sondra Radvanovsky, who's singing the title role in our fall 2010 production of Verdi's Aida. This is Ms. Radvanovsky's debut with the company, and also her debut in the role of Aida. Today we'll be listening to an excerpt or two from Sondra's new CD, recently released on the Delos label, entitled Verdi Arias.
So, what's so special about Aida?
Besides all the tradition that's steeped in the role, like every famous soprano has done Aida, as well as Tosca, it's a complex role. And I think the character is really interesting. It's not one kind of like Trovatore where she doesn't go on a journey. She's, you know, kind of always sad and woe is me. Aida is a struggling woman, and it's fun to play the character. As well as musically, it's very complex. Vocally, it's a tough role, and it takes a long time. You need endurance to sing it. So all those things together means that you have to be a grown-up when you start to sing Aida, so today's the day.
Today's the day. How would you relate it to the other roles you're singing at the moment? What are the specific challenges about the role? I know it's a role that a lot of sopranos take on much more hesitantly than they take on, let's say, Trovatore.
Walking
the Park.
Aida, compared to most of the other roles that I sing, is a little heavier because it's a little more dramatic in the middle voice. We have the declamatory, this kind of singing in the middle voice, which you need to have a little more control of your instrument, but also a little more depth and body to the voice, because doing this banging in the middle of the voice can take a real toll to it, so you have to really understand what you're doing with your vocal technique. Trovatore is a little more lyric, I find, and a little higher, actually. The tessitura sits a little higher. So Aida, for me, is just a little fuller, and probably about the heaviest role that I'm singing now, besides Tosca, which I just did, and upcoming right after this is my very first Balu in Maschera, which is also a little heavier.
So you get all three big ones.
Oh, man.
In one year.
In 1 year. Three new roles in 1 year.
Tosca, Aida,
and Balu.
And Balu.
And then I do Tosca again right after the Balu. So.
Yeah.
And then I have my nervous breakdown.
Yeah. And you're feeling good about High Seas?
Oh, yeah. High Seas for me. Trumpet? Easy. It's the low seas that I worry about.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people shy away from Aida and Balu, because there's...
Yeah.
That written high C.
And not just written, but, oh, Patria Mia, you have this high C that's just you hanging there. Hi, high C, looming. And everybody worries about that high C. But for me, it's not the first, not the second aria, the oh, Patria Mia. It's more the first aria, which is a little more bang, bang, bang in the middle voice, which I worry a little bit about. So.
Okay. Is there a part you especially love about the part? Certain scene or aria or...
I have to say that I like the down and dirty bits of the third act duet with Dad and with Rodimus. It's kind of fun because you get a little nasty. She gets a little attitude instead of being the push-me-pull-me person. Oh, I love my dad. Oh, I love Rodimus and my country and Mopathin. Yeah, I like...
Act 3 is great.
Act 3 is.
It's like the real thing.
Yeah, you know, you get Act 1, get a lot of chorus. Act 2, you get the triumphal march. But Act 3, it's just the principles, and it's... Is that how we describe opera?
That brings it right to the point. Yeah. When you prepare a new role, do you listen to the great old guys and girls and take inspiration or not?
Or not, yes. I think it's good to take a listen to them once or twice and hear how they dealt with the role and the difficulties that they had with it and what worked for them and what didn't. But I'm not one of these people that continually listens and listens and listens and by listening to the CD over and over, you know, like repeat, repeat. Because then I think it becomes Sondra's version of Maria Callas singing Aida. And I don't want that. I want to put my own stamp on it. And so I listen to it also to hear where the orchestra gets big, because you can't necessarily hear that with just a piano. But then I take it to my coach, and he beats it into me, so that's it.
Do you have a permanent coach or a teacher that you go back to regularly? So?
I do. I have my coach in New York. His name is Tony Minoli, and we have been working together 18 years.
Since the Met program?
Since the Met program, yeah, yeah, since I was 25, 26. That's giving away my age, but...
you can't cut that.
I'm 32, yes. But he's been there the whole time as my voice has kind of started out a little lighter, and it's grown, and he's grown with me, and it's great.
Great. So, if there were one Aida from the past to pick?
Oh, boy. One Aida. You know, my problem is I like aspects of every one of them. Leontina. Yeah, well, you know,
that's
you have
good.
To pick
yeah.
and choose, and that's why you want to listen to a little bit of Zita Milan.
No, that's how I look at it. You can...
I'm never 100% happy with any, including myself and including my performances. I'm never 100%. I'm always going in.
You know, that's how I feel I got into opera, like got really into opera, by hearing the same opera performed by different people.
Yeah.
And so kind of you get a notion of where the different kinds of trouble lie.
And also
because
with different
one person who has no problem with the first aria, but
right.
maybe with the second one, so you
right.
kind of...
And also tradition has changed with this opera, because it traditionally, years ago, was a more lyric voice that sang Aida. And then it came into this tradition of this big dramatic soprano singing Aida, and now I think it's kind of going back. Maybe there's not as many big dramatic sopranos around, but Leontine Price was a very lyric singer. She had a big enough voice, but it wasn't someone like Gulagina who sings it now, or, you know, Birgit Nielsen or something. Or Zinka Milanoff, in a way, her voice was quite large. And so Leontine had the beauty of the voice for this role, which was just amazing. For me, Maria Callas also had the drama of the character, in a way. And, of course, the E-flat at the end of the triumph, which was really amazing. But everybody has a...
You were allowed to do that.
I was told... I was told I get to do the E-flat on my very last performance. Now, we're not going to tell Johannes that the last performance is being taped for the radio, but yes.
We want a Sondra E-flat.
Hopefully it's there.
But you have a few other roles coming up where you might use an E-flat.
I actually do an E-natural.
Legally.
Legally. yes. And I do an E-natural, illegally, in the Vespri at the end of the Bolero.
Back in March, you were... at Roy Thomson Hall with Dmitri Rostovsky.
Yes.
Big orchestra recital.
Yes.
And that was more or less to celebrate and launch your, well, one of two new CDs.
Yes.
One of them is already out, and it's The City of the Arias on the Delos, do you say Delos or
Delos? Delos or Naxos, depending upon where you buy it in the world. Yeah.
Okay. Delos label. And on the CD, there's the big Nile aria from Aida.
Yes.
Was that the first time you took it on?
I'd never sung it before that, and I was brave and said, great, we're going to put it on the CD, that, and also the Ballo aria that I put on there. I'd never sung in public before, and another one, the Il Corsaro aria,
yeah.
I'd never done before.
And apart from that, it's the good old favorites like Ernani and Trovatore.
Yes, my kind of signature Verdi roles, the two Trovatore arias, the Ernani, the Vespri arias that I've done. Yeah, standard repertoire. We wanted something that was pretty much who I am and what I do, with a few little kickers of what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. Anything you want to tell us about the second CD, which is coming out soon?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how soon. I think actually it is available on Amazon.ca and Amazon.com right now. Possibly on iTunes, I'm not sure. But you cannot physically buy it in a record store yet. I think they're timing it. I think it actually might not be until next year in April, when this is a duet CD with Dmitri Khodorkovsky and myself that was from a live concert we did two summers ago in Moscow. Alverdi, again. Really exciting because it was the first time I ever sang with Dmitri. And there was this instant chemistry and instant fondness of each other, like we had known each other our whole lives. So of course we were maybe goofing around a little bit on stage. And I think it's going to come out in April when we are doing the high def movie theater broadcast of the Il Trovatore from the Metropolitan Opera.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, let's listen to a clip from the CD.
Thank you.
Malcolm's a really difficult question.
Oh no.
Because you only have, there's one possible answer only.
Oh no.
Okay. Oh, one good answer only. Okay. How has your time with the COC been so far?
I'm sorry. It's amazing. First off, this is my debut here. So I met you beforehand, but not everyone else. And so I'm meeting Johannes for the first time, the lovely, amazing conductor and head of music now, Tim Albury, the director, who is beyond words fabulous. And he takes the time and he really directs us. He just doesn't push us around on stage, but he takes the time to direct us. And everybody here from bottom to top, top to bottom has been so nice and so kind. Probably because they're all Canadians. But. And then to be in my own hometown and to go home every night and sleep in my own bed is a joy. So I am a happy little soprano.
Thank you.
No, and I hope to come back many times.
Well, for the podcast, we can say that there is at least one thing that we've been
so
books.
We'll be coming back.
She will be coming back. And
that's all we'll say.
We're thinking about the second thing, which will
we are?
Make it free.
Oh, good.
And, you know, so we'll,
okay.
I guess
you like me?
I do like you. Which brings me right to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've spoken about the role development, like taking on Tosca and Aida and Balo. What's up for the future?
Normally, as a soprano, or any voice, as you get older, the voice deepens and it gets richer and you move into more and more dramatic repertoire. But I am a slightly backwards person and I'm going lighter in some of my repertoire. And I have in the future coming up all three of the Donizetti queens, Anna Bolena, Maria Stuarda, and Roberto Devereux. And I also have my very first Norma coming up. Yay. What else do I have new and exciting? I think that's about all the new ones. I think that's enough though for now. And just really excited that people are seeing me as a bel canto singer and that bel canto actually is coming back in fashion.
Also comes back with decent sized voices.
Well, there is
that.
And
I like that too.
I do too. And people really fought for a long time. People said, oh, no, you're a Tosca, you're an Aida, Turandot, you know, all of that. And I really stuck my ground and said, no, I have a large instrument, but the core of it, it really is a bel canto, a norma. That is really, for me, like, perfect role. Because I have a large instrument, but I have all the flexibility. I have the high notes, I have the low notes.
Yeah, you keep it as long as you can.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm only doing one Aida per season. That's why I'm only doing six Aidas now, because that's a lot. Six in a row is a lot. I'm doing Tosca only once a season. Because there's wear and tear on the voice. There's that drama, and I'm not a...
It's the emotion, too. It's not only the singing. It's the emotion that carries you away.
Well, and that's my problem.
I very often feel that's the biggest problem in Tosca.
Absolutely.
I mean, you get really into the drama that you do harm to your voice because it's just in the piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was my... It was this inner dialogue when I just did my first Tosca. Sandra, my coach says to me, read the phone book. Do not let yourself get into the character. Because then you're stuck here and it takes a toll on you. So it's hard because I'm not a stand-and-sing kind of singer. I love acting. I was a theater major in college. So I want that interaction, but you have to remember that there's a line, and if you step over that line, it becomes dangerous. You can tiptoe up to it, but...
Yeah, that's what I try to tell my young singers here.
Good.
Yeah, you have a choice between a 5-year and a 30-year career.
Exactly. Invest well, or...
Historically, we've seen that. Some people have made the choice for a 5-year career.
Sure.
But it's nothing I would recommend to anybody.
It's a choice people make,
yeah.
And that... The 5-year is singing repertoire A that's too big, A, that's too dramatic for where you are right now, because you can learn to deal with that drama too, but it's only by doing it in baby steps, as opposed to just jumping into Turandot or Tosca when you're 30, and then see you later. So I'm opting for the 30-year career, and I think...
Well, I have one crazy repertoire idea, but I'll tell you offline.
Okay. I get a few.
I suspect you would think it's crazy, but I also think it might be something that is possible down the road. It could be very interesting.
I'm very excited to hear this now.
Okay. So let's move on to our last question before we go offline.
Okay.
What do you like to do when you don't rehearse and perform? Especially when you're at home.
Well, considering that normally we're on the road 10 and a half months out of the year, my husband travels with me. When we're home, boy, what do? I stay in my pajamas all day. We have a very nice new house up in Caledon. It's gorgeous, 10 acres, forest. I watch the wild turkeys walk by, and I watch the deers go by. They go for long walks. I go to the gym. I see all of our friends. Just do things that normal people do, I guess. Because when you're on the road, you don't... We watch North American television. Just normal things. Play in my house.
Good.
Garden. Sleep. That's
sleep.
A big thing. Sleep.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Gianmarco Sagato. Please join me again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.